Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Scott Eckersley, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. There has been a Jane Zender Merrill sighting, and she may be joining us later in the show. We have located her, and somehow one of her staffers thought that she was in orbit. She was missing, and glad that she's been located. I want to welcome in our next guest, Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com, the Master of Assessments. Hello, John.
Hello there, Jack. How you doing there, my friend?
Just fine.
Good.
Want to remind everyone that tonight at, well, I guess going on very shortly, heading on to about 8 o'clock over at Everybody Reads Books and Stuff, our good friend Jackson Kinguri is going to be over there signing copies of The Price of Stones. And maybe I'll even see you over there, John. I don't know.
I will be there, my friend.
Oh, that'll be great. Good. Hey, I want to talk a little bit about some of these quotes. Last week we got so caught up in some of the issues of the day, we did not have a chance to do something that's becoming pretty popular. I've had a lot of comments about this, and so we've got a little makeup work to do here. But some of the quotes this week that we want to talk about from a psychological standpoint and others, mastering others is a strength. Mastering yourself is true power. How difficult is it to master yourself as opposed to others?
Well, I would say if you look at the world we're in, Jack, and look at families and look at neighbors and look at psychologists and therapists' offices, you're going to see mastering self is a very difficult task. We never quite seem to get over it. So, yes, I mean, it's difficult enough to be a good manager. We don't necessarily have to use the word master, but, I mean, it's difficult to run a system, get people motivated, work them hard. But when dealing with yourself, that is critical. And if a person can do that, then they can have a much, much better life. The problem is mastering self is so difficult for people because people have their emotions. They have all kinds of things going wild on them.
Why are we our own worst enemy so often?
I think, Jack, people have tapes in their mind and they hear them. They hear them all the time.
Right.
And an excuse people give is that's just the way I am.
Like they should be hearing your self-help tape, not the one that tells them, I can't change, that's the way I am.
Well, like, I'm angry, I'm upset, this will always bother me, I can't change.
Right.
Those are negative things, Jack.
You know, I have a friend that every time there's something inconvenient, he says the same thing. That's just the way I am.
Yeah, well, that's an excuse of so many people and many people that I see or we see here. They will come in because they want to change, but they'll often say, I just can't change. That's the way I am. And I say, well, that ultimately becomes a choice.
Right, right. Let's try the bard himself, William Shakespeare. And, oh, it is excellent to have a giant's strength, but it is tyrannous to use it like a giant.
Jack, I think that's such a true statement. If you're powerful, if you're strong, if you have a lot of things going for you, that's the time that you want to show restraint and you want to show what a good person you are, not just lord it over people. See, the bully thrives on having greater strength than someone else,
mm-hmm.
whether it's verbal, whether it's physical. So if you can, I mean, if you have great talent, great skill, great power, good for you. I mean, don't ever be jealous of somebody who has those things. But when they use them negatively, then that is really tyranny, and that is horrible for the person and everybody around them.
I was talking to a military official about 2 years ago, John, and I'll never forget, he said, the goal is to be so strong you never have to prove it.
I think there's really a lot of truth in that. That, of course, was Ronald Reagan's maxim. You know, you
right.
build so much strength that no one is ever going to dare defy you or fight you. So being powerful, being strong, has its advantages as long as you don't just go try to bully and run over people.
Every once in a while, we get one of these quotes sent in to us, or we find it somewhere. On Facebook today, there was a post from our friend Mark Cavanaugh, and I thought this was very interesting. This is from former French Prime Minister Georges Clemenceau.
World War I vintage.
That's right. The graveyards are full of indispensable men. If they were indispensable and they're no longer with us, I guess they weren't quite as indispensable as we thought.
Well, that is really true. You know, he was kind of not a great diplomat, by the way. He had a lot to do with the coming of World War II, demanding the Germans take the blame for everything. But his statement in itself is quite a famous statement. It's very, very true. Regardless of how important, how critical we think we are, even if the world would be much worse without us, the world will continue. So pace yourself, look after yourself, lest you end up in a cemetery. And all you've got to do, Jack, this sounds morbid, but go to a cemetery on a quiet day and realize how many people are in there that have no business in there. And many of them use the words, I have to do it. If this isn't done, think the world is going to stop. And the world has stopped, but it's stopped for them.
Mm-hmm. The idea of indispensability, I remember once a boss was trying to give me a little attitude adjustment and said, no one is indispensable. And I resisted the temptation to hand the person a mirror.
Sounds like an old editor or something, Jack. I mean, well, no, that is really true. And people really have to realize that. Now, granted, the death of Abraham Lincoln was a tragedy that led to horrible things that we're probably still involved with to some degree. But the world does get on, and you don't normally have anything as momentous as the death of a great leader like an Abraham Lincoln. But always remember, whenever you think you're powerful, you think you're dominant, and everyone needs you, take a little breath and also make sure you're trying to prepare people so when you do move to the next stage that people are going to be able to get by without you. You don't want to make yourself so, quote, valuable it's destructive for a long time after you do move on.
John, we have talked about fear several times here and how this can be the greatest opponent of all and how it prevents us from trying to do great things. And even if we fail, sometimes we are better for having made the attempt. It's been said, admire those who attempt great things even though they fail.
Jack, I think we have all experienced where somebody has failed. They've gone bankrupt. They bought a home they weren't able to keep, or whatever it might be. Those are not people that we want to snicker and laugh at. Let's really give people achievement. In fact, I'll give you an odd one that just came to my mind. Charles de Gaulle, when he visited what was Stalingrad at the time, he said, "What a great people." And what he was talking about, certainly not diminishing the Russian defenders, but that the Germans had gotten that far. And I never forgot that, kind of an odd example to come up with. But I believe if someone tries and they're really out there leading with their chin, let's give them credit. And those are the people ultimately happiest in life. It's not the one who didn't take risks. I promise you at 80, the person who wished they'd done something at 20 at that point wishes they had. And even if the person at 80 wished they might not have tried something, they'll say, well, I'm glad I tried.
As you know, I am a very proud father, and after visiting my son, Zach, in China for 16 days, I'm amazed at what he was able to accomplish by age 23, and he's getting ready for another major adventure that I'll tell you about next month. Been sworn to secrecy because he doesn't want his mother to know that yet. But the quote is, during the first period of a person's life, the danger is not to take a risk. I guess the other way to look at it is be bold.
Oh, you know, Jack, fortune favors the bold. How does that sound, as Virgil said a couple thousand years ago? I really believe it's so exciting to try things. And if you're a young person, I don't mean taking outrageous risks.
Right.
But enjoy the challenge. Look for new things to do. And if you're an old person who hasn't done it or older, hey, come on, go try things, do things. Because really, the greatest danger is just becoming a sad old sack watching the grass grow in the backyard or just watching the next episode of something on television. Rubbish, bad way to live.
Danger and delight grow on one stalk. That reminds me of the movie The Bucket List. And do you have a bucket list?
Well, I guess to some degree, Jack. Tell me what it is, and I'll tell you if I do.
Well, we talk about things that you have to do before you leave this earth,
yes.
Things that may be a place you have to see, something you have to experience. Lou Holtz had a list of 100 things that he was determined to do before he died, and the last I heard, he was, I think, at number 91.
Well, you know, Jack, I'll tell you this. Within reason, I've done everything I want to do, and I do do. If there's something I really want to do,
mm-hmm.
within reason, then I will do it. And my wife, God bless her, wonderful gal, Nene, is always willing to do things, maybe willy-nilly, but if I said I wanted to go to China and visit Zach, she would hate the plane ride. She'd laugh, and there she'd be with me, and then complain to everybody about what I made her do. But hey, in life, sure, I have a bucket list, but Jack, I've got to tell you, in a lifetime, I'd like to think I've lived 500 years. I like to try things that I encourage everybody, without danger, without doing really things bad, whatever that quite means to you. You just have to enjoy life and go for it while we're here. I really believe that 100%.
John, you're capable of doing so many things, and you love your work. How about this one? The test of a vocation is the love of the drudgery it involves.
You know, Jack, that's really true. You're as a writer, and even though I'm a psychologist, I write a ton of reports,
mm-hmm.
have to do a lot of things, depositions. Did one on the phone here a couple weeks ago. Do all kinds of things that I really would rather not do, but it's part of helping and doing your deed. It's part of what you've done with your writing. It's Spartan Tailgate, which you do now, the magazine. There are a lot. The drudgery of doing it, the satisfaction in getting it done and being helpful to people, that is what keeps you going. In fact, just an aside, I was talking to my daughter's father-in-law, talking about my son-in-law, Tony, and he was saying that he can do the work of 10 people. He does these big, you know, all
right.
kinds of landscaping and things. So if you love it, if you want to see the final project done, then there's drudgery, but it's part of being successful and happy in life. If you don't like it and you're bored, then do something else if you can.
Last one, and Tom Crawford always quotes this, my Saturday morning co-host on the Jack and Tom Show, and it's from Rick Pitino. He said, make your vocation a vacation.
Well, I think within reason, Jack, I think if you really like what you're doing and you like that wind at your back and you're looking to achieve and do things, it is like a vacation. You're going to find so many people that retire, they go to lunch every day with their old buddies or gals that they worked with. They plan their life around getting with the old coworkers. Those are people that ended up not even realizing that it may be not quite vacation, but they really enjoyed what they were doing, but for whatever reason, they left. And don't do that. And if you have a job, whatever it might be, try to find things that really excite you about it, renewing yourself every day.
Yeah, I think I've told you this story, but my father had a very good job and made a good income and hated every day of it.
Well,
and I decided very early, I must have been 11 or 12 years old, and said, I don't know how successful I'm going to be. I don't know how much money I'm going to make. But the day that I don't like my job, the day that I hate to get up and go to work, it'll be the last day I do.
And your emails at 2:45 a.m. let me know that you obviously like what you're doing.
Either that or I'm nocturnal. Not quite sure which. John, thanks so much for joining us as always, and we'll see you this evening.
Listen, for sure, my good friend. Bye-bye.
Dr. John Braccio, Regional Psychological Services, drjohnb.com. Check him out. He is the master of assessments. Scott, we are going to be joined by Jane Zender Merrill, and we'll recap Kids Count, and we'll get her input on that. She is Senior Research Associate, Michigan League for Human Services. We'll be right back with more. Ebling and You, 1320 WILS.